Tonight I would like to take a look at what I would call the salvation package. Before we look at that, I have a song I'd like for us to sing together. It's number 36 in the Blue Book. Robert, if you don't mind to lead just the first two verses. To me, this song sums up the salvation package.
Once I was trapped
in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail scarred. His side was riven. He gave his life blood for you and me.
He left the Father with all his riches, with fondness sweet.
Down from heaven and gave his life blood to make the lost sinner clean. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! Broken on Calvary, his hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven, he gave his life blood for even.
To me, that song just sums it up.
Yes.
What a Savior. So tonight, what I would like to look at is the salvation package. If you were to try to explain it to someone, where would you say it started? You know, in a few days, we will remember Jesus being born in a manger. And sometimes I feel that that's where it started. But then I get a few scriptures that I would like for us to take a look at tonight. That says that wasn't even the beginning of it. Even that second verse, just the very first part of it, he left the splendor. We sing a song, he left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. So I have a few verses I'd like to go to that helps us to see this wasn't the beginning, what we celebrate in a few days. In Revelations 13 and 8, it talks about a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. A plan that God had from way back before the world was even created. That's one verse. Another one, when Jesus was praying in the 17th chapter of John, it's in the fifth verse. It says, "Would you glorify me with the glory that I had before the world was?" And it's almost like we just start getting a little glimpse what it must have been before Jesus ever came down as a baby in that manger. When he came down and the angels came rejoicing, because they had been with him. There was another verse that tells me it didn't start in the manger. And that is when God said in Genesis, the first chapter, "Let us make man in our image." You think it was just he was by himself, but he just liked to say "we" or "us"? No, I don't think he was alone in the creation way back there at the beginning. And then there's one more in Daniel, the third chapter, when the three Hebrew children were put in the fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar looked and said, "Did not we throw three in? But I see four. And this fourth one looks like," how'd he say it? "The Son of God." Now, how did he ever even have an idea? He could have said, "I don't know how that fourth man got in there, but he jumped in there somehow." Nuh-uh. Somehow he had a vision that there is something much greater than just another man is in that fire. So there is a verse I'd like for us to look at in John, the 21st chapter, the very last verse in the book of John. "And there were also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." If you did not realize that it was before the manger, if you only thought, "I need to write books from the manger to the cross," wouldn't be that many books maybe. But now if you go back and see these other verses, I was there before the world was. So from the very beginning, before the what we consider the beginning, Jesus was there. And so it starts making a difference with me as I look at it. Because so easy it is for me to look at the human of it. He started with a baby. And he grew up to be a man, and he had some good ideals. No, he came from God, his Father, willing to come this way. So another verse was Isaiah, where it was 9th chapter, 6th and 7th verse. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And it starts saying that the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be the Prince of Peace. This is the one that was before the manger. This was the one that was back there before the creation of the world. And now the plan is going to be for him to come down to earth. You know, this is where I start seeing that verse that says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding." Because I start looking, if you were tonight, if God were to tell you, "Okay, I need to bring the plan of salvation. Please help me to know how to do it." Would you have done it the way he did it? Wouldn't have done it that way. But let's look at a verse, because really I need to see this all through my life. This is in Isaiah 55 and 8 through 9. No matter how I think a situation is, I need to realize these verses. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And those included how I will send my son into the earth to bring the plan of salvation. And you know, my thoughts would have never included the manger. Because he could have come any way he wanted to. And you know, in my way, there needs to be a big splash. It needs to be something that is, everybody recognizes this. So I wouldn't have done it just for a few shepherds out in the field at night to see the heavenly host. To me, I would have picked a big day, one of the big days when in Jerusalem it is packed. And something that the chief priests would be able to see the Son of God coming down and maybe just hover for a little bit and then come on down as a grown man. You know, they were expecting something. Yes. They had a plan, they had a thought in mind of some way it's going to happen, but they never expected it to be that lowly. And so I looked at that. I would have done it to where they would have said, "This is the Son of God." But the Jews were looking for something when the Messiah came. They were looking that, you know what, we're going to be delivered from the Roman rule. This is what we're looking for. So, okay, if it would have been done my way and Jesus came down as a grown man, they could have said, "This is our deliverance coming." But you know what? His appearance would not have matched his message. Because here maybe they say deliverance has come for us, and then he starts preaching these things. "But I say unto you that you resist not evil. If someone smites you on one cheek, you turn the other also." You think they would have accepted him no matter how he came down to the earth when they find out this is his message? His message was never really to right the wrongs that people have done to me. His message is to give me peace right in the middle of it. His message to them was, I'm going to bring a peace that the world cannot give. My peace I leave with you. And my peace is, it doesn't matter if it's the Romans today or some other problem tomorrow, I can bring a peace because it comes inside of you. So now I start seeing, you know what, my plan wouldn't have worked. Because if he came as something that they thought, this is deliverance, but then he started preaching his messages that we see on the Sermon on the Mount, they would have still rejected him. Because his message was not to deliver them from the Roman rule. Because, you know, if he had, just a few years later, somebody else would come along. And, you know, if I say, what I want from Jesus is to stop the problems in my life, this problem that I'm going through, I want Jesus to put an end to that and I'll have peace. He could do that. But you know what? I'm going to have another problem next week with somebody else. But instead, he wants to come. He came with a desire to change the inside of who I am. Independent. You know what? That's where the victory comes from. Now, it does not matter who it is. It does not matter what they say. To me, I look at Job and I start seeing something there. Job did not attach a name on somebody. When his things were taken away, he did not say, write down on a piece of paper, "The Chaldeans got these things, we'll get them back one day." Or, "The Sabaeans took these, but I tell you what, we'll get it right one of these days." Instead, Job said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know what? That takes everybody else out of the picture. And it's just dealing between me and God, me and the Lord. And that's what he wanted. And I saw it again. This is before Jesus ever came. I saw it again with Joseph, to be able to go through the difficulties that he had in his life and not charge God foolishly. Take each one of them and let them come, and at the end of it all, to be able to tell his brothers, "It wasn't you that sent me here." You know what? That's probably what helped him through all those 13 years, to be able to realize it really wasn't them. God has some kind of plan, even if I can't see what it is. He has a plan for me. And so I start seeing for my own self, you know what, there's more in it for me to be able to just put my hand in the Lord's and let him lead and guide us. So I want to just take a look at some things here, because here's where it starts as far as what we see in the Luke in the second chapter. And we have read these things so many times, but I think it's good for us, you know, see that song that says, "Tell me more about Jesus." I want to be, next year I want to hear it again. Next week I want to hear it again. It's a new song. It's a new message to me again. Is I want to be able to hear it. Here in Luke in the second chapter and in the sixth verse, you know, here I would have brought him down as a grown man at Jerusalem. Here's how he came. So it was while they were there, just a coincidence that there's no room for him in the inn. It's part of the plan. While they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. While out here, the angels are coming to the shepherds and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And it was all of that heavenly host was just given to a few shepherd men. Wise men came from a long ways off because they saw a star, and somehow they realized, you know what, there's something attached to this. And when they came and said, surely the king will know. And he said, surely the chief priest will know. And you know, the chief priest did know. They knew where to send them to because they had been reading about it themselves. Except that we don't see the chief priest say, "We're going too," because possibly this is it and we could worship him too. No, somehow they did not even see it when the time came for them. But the wise men came to worship him. And I look at, how do you put all this together of Jesus at the creation of the world, and now he comes as a baby in a manger? I remember this song, "The Wonder of Wonders." As she looked on his face, that this little boy spoke the worlds in their place. The stars and the moon shining brightly on them, the earth and the sun were created by him. How could it be? The wonder of wonders, as she hears his small cry, that this voice had thundered on Mount Sinai. The hand that she held so tenderly had made a dry path through the mighty Red Sea. The wonder of wonders, as she looked down and smiled, that he was her maker as well as her child. You know, that's hard for us to comprehend. He created the womb that had given him birth. He was God incarnate, come down to earth. You remember there were times where it said that Mary pondered some things in her heart. She just didn't even talk. She just pondered. Because she had to realize, I mean, the angel had come to her and let her know, this is the Son of God that you will carry. The wonder of wonders, as a father looked on, in eternity past, this was his son. He had sent him to die on Calvary's tree, and that is the wonder of wonders to me. The wonder of wonders, oh, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men, and the wonder of wonders is that he died for my sin. And I want to, at this time of the year, to realize, you know what, this is more than just a time that we celebrate when he was born. You know, to me, I wish I could know more details about all that. So I started looking in the Bible the other day and I said, you know, okay, December 25th, that's the day that we recognize it. So I want to look in the commentaries and see, has that been proven out? And they said, you know what, it's not even agreed about the year that he was born in. Said there are a lot of opinions about what year it is. And said there are, just to the day itself, said there are enough opinions that they have it set in all 12 months. Some say it was January, some say it was February. And you know what, really? It doesn't matter to me. I just like to have some time that I recognize, you know what, he came. And he lived and he died for me. That song that we sang, "Oh, What a Savior." How could it be that he comes from heaven and is able to see what we get a little glimpse of it when we see that verse. He knows death is coming. And he says, "Father, I've done your work here. Father, would you glorify me with the glory that I had?" Almost like a longing. You know, it's been 3 years and I've been rejected. You know, it says he was in all points tempted like as we are. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Why? Because I think he had feelings. I think he knew acceptance. I think he knew rejection. And it did the same thing for him that it does for us. When in the sixth chapter of the book of John, he had just fed a multitude of people. And they were so happy. He had a following then. In fact, it said he had to get away from there because he knew that they were going to make him, try to make him king at the beginning of the sixth chapter of John. And you take it by the time he got to the last of that chapter, it says many went away from him and followed him no more. And it got down to the point that he said to his disciples, "Will you also go away? This is the Son of God." That he had feelings just like we have. And yet, you know, he did not say to those that all these this following is going away. He could have easily said, "I tell you what, whoa, stop. Let's make a deal here. I need some people. People are going to be important." But instead, he let them go away. You know what? The rich man that came to him and had so many things that he was doing right. "I've obeyed all of these commandments. What do I lack yet?" It says Jesus looked on him and he loved him. But yet he told him the truth. This is what needs to be done. And you know, for me and my life, Jesus knows what needs to be done. He knows what needs to be changed. He understands all about each one of us. And for me to come to a place where I tell him, "Lord, I open myself to you," where I do not even, I can't even see myself. The verse that says, "Search me, O Lord, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Because something I find about Jesus, because he was the Son of God and he wasn't just a baby born in a manger, there were times when it said he perceived their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. And we feel like, you know what, if I can just don't say it, then everything is okay. But you remember when he came, he started telling us there are things that can happen just in your heart that will be taken as sin. You remember where it says, "It has been said before, thou shalt not commit adultery." But it said, if a person looks on a woman to lust after her, this is all happening inside the heart. He hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. I look at those things and I realize, you know what? This is more than just a baby that was born in a manger. This is the Son of God that was able to perceive thoughts. We see several times in the scriptures when he would meet up with someone and it says he perceived what they were thinking. You remember when he asked his disciples, "What was it? What's going on here?" And they didn't want to tell him. What was it? Because they had just been discussing who's going to be the greatest in this thing. And he dealt with that. I'm thankful that he can perceive down inside. And his desire is, like it says in 2 Peter 3, he's not willing that any would perish, but that everybody would come to repentance. That we would be able to make heaven our home. I'm thankful for that. So when I look at the places that he went through, he knew. He knew before he ever came, here is how it's going to have to end up. And yet I think of the, it proves to me that he had feelings when he came right down to it and he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." You know what? I take comfort in that because it tells me, you know what? I can tell the Lord, "Lord, if it be possible, I don't want this to go this way." But what it teaches me is he could have kept it from going that way. You know what? The scripture says that the children of Israel had a desire and they had a request. And they pursued that request to the point that it says he gave them their request. But that request sent leanness to their soul. So I start learning something about Jesus. He asked his Father, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." if there's any other way that this plan of salvation, this is from the manger to the cross, if there's any other way now, I'd like for it to be done that way. But then he ended it with, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That is the secret for each one of us. It tells us, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So with that, I can tell him exactly how I'd like for him to do it. I can lay it out step by step. This is how I see it. But you remember way back there, we used this verse a while ago, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, I always need to remember that. Because so often, with me thinking earthly thoughts, I find the best way. And that way will always be what takes me out of trouble, to where I have no trouble in my life. And yet Jesus said, okay, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. So if I can come to a place to where I can say, Lord, I've got it laid out here. I give it to you step by step. I'd like for it to go just this way. But then I close it out with, nevertheless, not my will. Lord, I want to make heaven my home. And there are going to be some things that you need to put in my path for me to be able to make it. There is a verse, Romans, the 8th chapter. It says, in the 26th verse, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now I can look at that verse and I say, I know how I want to pray. It is, give me everything good in my life. We know not how to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So I look at this, how that verse ends. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, and he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then the very next verse that goes with that, now I understand how this works. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now it is what the will of God is. So if I were to be able to go all the way out to the end of my life and stepping out into eternity, what would be important on that day is to make sure that everything is clear between me and God. And so now I back up to where I am today and not knowing what tomorrow holds. And I need to be saying, Lord, put in my path whatever I need to be put in my path to give me the best opportunity to make heaven my home. I want to be able to make it. And I look at this plan of salvation, what Jesus was willing to do, and I start seeing, you know what? It goes clear back before the beginning of the world. And you know what? Now I start seeing it did not end when he breathed his last on the cross. It really was like it just began. This goes from eternity and back out into eternity again. Now there's a plan that has been put in place. There is power in the blood. I was looking at some verses because one thing is that song that says, oh, what a Savior. I have been thinking for the last few days, especially as we're going to India, and some of those are saying, we want some teaching. We want to know, what does the Church of God teach? And you know what? We're faced all around us today with religion that says this plan of salvation really does not go very deep. It'll take you to heaven, but it doesn't require much of you. You can't live free from sin. Just can't do it. Don't even try. You won't be able to do it. And so I started looking at some verses. And I want to encourage you, maybe even through the winter, this winter, as we get together on some nights, let's start taking a look at, you know, we're bombarded with what the religious world tells us. But you know what? I need to go to the Word of God. And I need to know, okay, I'm told that you can't do it. But you know what? These folks won't be there when I stand before God heading out into eternity. It's going to be the Word of God that I'm judged by. And so I start looking at some verses and I start finding places that says, to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. So it's about a will that we have and choices that we make. But there's power in the blood of Christ. I'd like to look at a verse. It's in 1 John. In the first chapter. Because people will try to use some of these verses themselves to say there is not an ability to live free from sin. But let's look at these. This is that Jesus that we had thought he just came in the manger. But actually we find out he was there before the foundation of the world. And there was a plan for us. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. You know, I need to take that verse and realize, you know what? I'll meet that verse out in when I step out to eternity. If I say that I have fellowship with him, but there's darkness in my life, there's sin in my life, I'm lying and I do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then it goes on the next verse. These verses almost, because you know what? If we take one verse in the Bible, you can almost come up with any belief you want to. But what we need to be able to do is, like Sister Maxine uses that verse, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established. If I find a verse that seems to lead me some way, let me go ahead and check out the rest of the Bible and see where it takes me. Because this next verse says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, then that almost looks like a conflicting thought there, but not really. Because there happened to be people back there that was even saying, you know what, I'm living a good enough life. I don't need it. And you know, even today we can almost question ourselves. Good people that would help you with any problem that you have, and yet they have no desire to be saved. And we can, in our mind, this is why it says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I would think that person ought to make heaven. They're living a good life. But you know what? We have, this one says, if we say we have no sin, if we say I'm living a good enough life, I don't need it, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But then it tells us in the ninth verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am so thankful that now as I look back and it started, well, can you say it started? Back in eternity, where did eternity? It says eternity had no beginning and no end. We soon run out of our thoughts. But somewhere way back there before the world was ever created, Jesus was there with his Father. He came as a baby. 33 years he was here, and then he died on the cross. But that wasn't the end of it either. Now we are headed out toward eternity ourselves. And this plan that he put in place back then, the plan that would not have helped me much if he would have come as a good general and fought the Romans and delivered the Jews, and that was all he came for. Instead, this plan has continued on to today to help me to have overcome. And you know what? The biggest enemy I have to overcome is myself. You know what? If I can conquer that, all of those outside forces will not have any bearing on me. I am so thankful tonight for the plan of salvation. You know, and we talk about Jesus having feelings. And I think about when he came down to the Last Supper. And he's saying, one of you are going to betray me. You know, he had feelings. Here I'm down to 12 men, and one will betray me. You know, there is something that I always need to remember in my life is God knows everything. There are no secret things. There were 11 of those men that were shocked by that statement Jesus made, one of you will betray me. Why? Because they had no intention to do it. And what they said was, you know, because our easiest thing to do in a time like that is look at the other 11 and say, I'll tell you what, I think it's him. They didn't do that. They said, Lord, is it I? Could it be that I don't understand myself? How could Judas have come to the place that he could stand up in front of Jesus, who he has been going with for this time, and he has seen the times when Jesus perceived thoughts? How could it be that Judas could stand up in front of Jesus and say, is it I? Be one of those that's bold enough to say, you know, the only way he could say it is, I don't think he knows it's me. When he went out and he covenanted with the chief priest for 30 pieces of silver, how he was not convicted that, you know what, Jesus knows I'm down here. He knows I've been with him enough that he knows where I am right now. You know, for us throughout our life, I need to remember that. There is nothing hidden from him. My thoughts are known by him. So I come to the Lord with a prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, because now I realize you know my meditations anyhow. So Lord, I'm praying you to help me that I would make them to be acceptable in your sight. So this Jesus that had feelings to come down to the place that he's going to lay down his life for not for just those, but for me today. And I am so thankful for that. And you know what? I can easily with my mouth say I thank him. But I tell you what I'd like to do is tomorrow by my life, say thanks. Yes. By the life of accepting the power that he has for me to be able to be cleansed from sin, to show him I'm thankful for that. I'd like to close with a verse of a song. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. And something more than just about that name, but who is behind that name. You know what, as we go through and the world gets more and more wicked, and they start openly telling us there's nothing to it, I want to be able to say, but you know what, I know it's real in my life because he changed it. And you know, really what I want at the end of the day is that they would be able to see, you know what, there is a difference. Because you know what, if I claim the name of Christ, but they cannot see any difference, it's not very good for Christ and what he went through. I desire your prayers.